Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Here we go. 1-2 pitch. Towards the middle, knocked down by Kessinger, ball game over!
What a play!
Kessinger hadn't played since mid-July, and he knocks one down and makes an incredible play to win a game! Profar yelling at the umpires, he told them he wasn't hit by that pitch. This is one of the craziest endings you ever see.
Unbelievable, bases loaded, a guy who just came up, made an unbelievable play. Greg Kessinger with the backhand and the flip. And the Astros, with every right to complain, have actually won this game against this umpiring crew and this great team in the San Diego Padres.
As soon as Profar was retired, he got up and started screaming at the umpires that he wasn't hit by a pitch. I've never seen anything like
that. Both teams very unhappy with how this game was officiated.
Hi, that was... Todd Callis and Jeff Blum, obviously, on the call there. The final out of last night's game between the Astros and Padres. It was wild. We'll unpack the wildness here in a second. The important thing you need to know, the most important thing moving forward, is, have you heard the good news? The Astros win 4-3 in 10 innings. The Mariners lose to the Yankees. So the Yankees are good friends, at least last night, because we had a common enemy, the Seattle Mariners. And the Astros now up 5 games with 11 to go. The walls are closing in on the old Seattle Mariners, Seth Payne. So, yeah.
Yep. This is, look, and in a game where, boy, Hunter Brown was a lot of fun in this one. Unfortunately, everything is overshadowed by just incredibly bad umpiring. And incredibly, look, we've seen the feistiest version of Altuve we've ever seen this season, I think.
Yep.
Multiple ejections and an earned one last night where he hits the ball off his foot. It's ruled a fair ball. He's out. And Altuve proceeds to take his shoe and sock off to show the umpire. Exactly.
That's not
where
joking,
the,
by the way. Like, he literally did that. Yeah.
He Nikita Khrushchev this one. Yeah. He might as well have just been pounding the shoe on the ground because it was clear, obvious. And I mean, you had two instances in this game where, just like the Bregman hit by pitch slash foul ball or the foul ball thing from a week ago, there's clear evidence of what had happened. And yet, the umpires, the MLB replay crew, nobody can rectify it. For both sides,
yeah.
It was ridiculous. So Altuve hit it off his foot. He's showing where the ball hit his foot, and he gets ejected.
Here's what it sounded like during the game. This is the Altuve ejection. Again, top of the ninth inning, runner in scoring position, two outs. Altuve clearly fouls a ball off his foot that rolls into the infield. The Padres play the play out, get him out at first base, and Altuve winds up getting ejected, arguing the call.
Hits Altuve's foot. They're going to say fair ball. Brennan Miller is going to say that ball didn't hit Altuve, and that's going to be the final out of the inning. Brennan Miller is not ingratiating himself to Astros players, coaches, or manager.
You've got to ask for help.
You got to check with other umpires to see if it did hit Altuve.
Altuve needs to be pulled out of the situation. They need to keep him in this game.
Altuve showing where it hit his foot, and now he's ejected.
Oh, man, that's amazing.
You're right, though. They should have got Altuve out of there. He's been ejected. We're going to have a tie game heading to the bottom of the ninth. Altuve will limp off the field. This game is crazy.
It was crazy. So there were plenty of bad calls in the game. The ones that are getting the most attention, one, bottom of the sixth, Astros up 2-0. Hunter Brown is dealing. He's pitching a gem. And Manny Machado is ahead in the count 3-0. Hunter Brown gets a couple of strike calls that were bad calls. And instead of Manny Machado getting walked, he ends up hitting a two-run home run. I would have rather he walked. So that,
right, yeah. Like in that one, so, boy, I wish it had been a good umpire. Yeah. I wish the umpire would have actually done the right thing and walked. Machado, look, you could argue, was he fueled by adrenaline and anger, and that helped him crank that one out. It was the beginning of this comedy of errors.
Yeah, for purposes of our narrative, I choose to believe that's what happened. Then when Hader comes in, I believe in the eighth, he starts behind 1-0 on the count to the hitter he's pitching to because the umpire didn't see him call timeout. And so then the umps spend 10 minutes trying to hash out that call. Hader's cooling off in the meantime, like, hey, bro, I'm coming in from the bullpen. I'm ready to roll. It was a comedy of errors. Then the Altuve foul ball that should have been the Altuve out that should have been a foul ball off his foot. Altuve ends up getting ejected, as does Joe Espada, which only exacerbates the situation. And then in the 10th, the bottom of the 10th, the Profar situation that you heard Callis and Blum talking about, two outs, runners on first and third. Brennan Miller, the home plate umpire, says that Profar gets hit by a pitch and they send him to first. And Profar didn't want to go to first base. He wanted to swing the bat. He wanted to try to drive in the winning run from third base and not load the bases. They review it. And they still get it wrong. They still say, nope, you got hit by the pitch, go to first base. Both teams didn't like that call. Like, they were pitching to Profar. They wanted to pitch to Profar. Profar wanted to hit. And somehow they had a missed call that managed to piss off both teams. And the Astros, the winning team, mind you, the winning team in this game, the umpiring was so bad, they got into a dust-up with the umps going back into the clubhouse.
Mike Schilt is on his way out. And there is a little bit of a holdup here.
Well, we got a near fight down between the umpires as they're trying to leave the field, and they leave in the same place where the Astros are, and the Astro players were getting all over home plate umpire Brennan Miller, and the other umpires had to get in between to try to make sure that there wasn't any more physical interaction. Now the umpires are leaving the field.
Yeah. The text message, and again, I'll try to clarify this. I didn't see the game, but what happened on that last play? A batter's arguing he was not hit by a pitch. I don't get it. You may have texted that before I just explained it, but I'll re-explain it one more time. Yeah, Profar from the Padres, they had runners first and third, two outs, and Profar, who's been hitting the ball well, wanted to swing the bat. He did not want to get put on base. He wanted to swing the bat. The Astros wanted to pitch to Profar. Both sides didn't want a hit-by-pitch in that situation, and yet not only did they call one, but they reviewed it and got it wrong on the review. You know, like, they had a chance to rectify it.
That's the one that made it that's what made it so bizarre, is when Profar, and understandably, you get it, it's not weird that he was arguing that because he wanted to be at bat, but it's not something you typically see.
Right.
It's just a guy, both teams wanting the correct call to be made, for different reasons, and even the guy who clearly knows and understands that he wasn't hit by the pitch, saying, like, no, I wasn't hit by the pitch, and the ump is like, nope, we're moving forward with this plan, no matter what. This is the oh my god, it was so weird.
It was crazy, man.
I'm glad that I can laugh at it. If the Astros had lost this game, particularly if it were close. I mean, can you imagine if it were close in the division or something right now?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have been able to sleep last night.
Right. Astros back at it. Late this afternoon, 5:40 is the first pitch. We get Fromber today, I believe. I think today is a Fromber Valdez. So the most dominant pitcher in the American League gets to impose some dominance, hopefully today, on a National League squad out there in San Diego.
The other thing, too, by the way, people are pointing out is you've pointed out this multiple times, but the argument about Hader going Hader with his pitch clock violation on his first pitch, which was dumb and absurd and stupid. Again, they argue about it forever, where your closer who comes out all amped up and ready to go is just having to sit there and bide his time, you know. It's not like they can walk a fluffer out there or something to keep him going. There's so many things done poorly in this game.
And he throws a wild pitch, the first pitch after the umps finally, get back to playing baseball. Like, it's, yeah. Yeah, so that's how bad it was. The winning team was the one confronting the umpires as they were leaving the field. That's how bad the officiating was in that game last night with
they
the
needed,
Astros.
They should have had a security detail for Brennan Williams to take him out a back exit or something, because both teams wanted him dead.
Yeah. If it was in any other city, they might need to do that. They're pretty docile in San Diego, they're pretty laid back.
I never buy into that, because supposedly they're docile in Portland. And, Portland's supposed to be this, just this groovy, hippie city and everything. Yeah. Nothing but a bunch of tree huggers. But, boy, I don't know. Their basketball fans don't seem like
no,
that.
No, that's true.
And Sean, as somebody I'm currently in Eugene, Oregon, having driven from Portland. This is the thing about the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
It's sometimes annoying, because the culture here is that people drive the speed limit.
Yeah.
And you think God forbid you make some kind of little traffic error, or they've got all these weird intersections that are three-way stops, and it's very confusing. And people get livid. Yeah. They won't honk, but they'll scream at you.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all like, oh, yeah, we don't honk around here. Yeah, and we drive the speed limit. Hey, what the hell did you just cross over the white line, you
really?
Son of a bitch?
Really?
You son of a bitch,
Okay. Wow, in Oregon, huh?
Well, in any communist society, the people need to be basically police themselves.
Yeah, that's true.
Everybody's got to be in it for the common good.
That's true.
And if you don't, you're going off to the gulag.
Right, right. And the half of society that deserves more than they make are very angry about that, naturally, driving around all the time.
It's just like every other place except in Plaid. That's the difference. The anger is done in Plaid.
Yep.
So I don't. I think San Diego. Look, it's not like nothing violent ever happens in San Diego,
yeah.
Sean.
That's true.
They gotta have your head on a swivel, umpires.
For those wondering that are watching on YouTube, wondering why Seth is doing the show from his grandmother's couch. That's why.
Yeah.
He's an Airbnb up in Oregon. People like that painting behind you, too, as well, the wild horses.
I don't think those are sarcastic compliments. I'm getting
I think they like
my Airbnb horse painting.
I like it. Payne and Pendergast with you.
I spent one day out here, and I was like, oh, gosh, this weather, it's so nice, because it's, like high 60s, low 70s. It took about 36 hours before I was like, all right, I'm depressed. This is gloomy. It's raining, but it's not actually raining. I don't even know what this is. I'm depressed now. I need some sunshine.
Someone says, I had a guy hit my car in Portland because my hood went over the white line at a crosswalk, not even my tires.
Pedestrians very much have the right of way anywhere and everywhere, almost. They have these stop signs. Sean, it's so confusing. I like the concept and the theory, but there are stop signs in Eugene where it's stop for pedestrians underneath. But you see the stop sign, so it's like every crosswalk you're coming up to, you're like, oh crap, am I running? Oh no, okay, I'm good. But then if some bro is walking up, he's 10 foot away from the crosswalk, and you don't stop for him, he'll curse you out.
Yep.
I'm very stressed out up here between the gloominess and the angry pedestrians. I gotta get out. I'm gone tomorrow.
My daughter spent a year up there, and I'm with you. I've had a chance. Now, the frat house that they patterned, or that they filmed Animal House, the one they patterned it after was from some other school, but they filmed Animal House on University of Oregon's campus up there.
Which one is it? I've walked past a lot of fraternity houses.
I'm not sure. If you can Google it, though. I know when I went up there to visit Judy, I Googled it and took a picture in front of the one that they filmed it at and stuff like that. But there's a lot of Animal House landmarks up there in Eugene.
I'll have to ask. I was at a Sigma Chi party last night until 3 a.m.
Working the keg.
Taught the kids how to funnel beer and
working
everything.
The kids up on a keg stand.
Why aren't you guys drinking, man? Yeah. Do you guys even know how to do a keg stand? You guys aren't living.
I like this new pledge, Seth, man. Seth is cool.
I will say, though, all jokes aside, as far as there is a certain vibe out here that I notice it every time I fly. The gate at the airport feels completely different than, say, when you're taking a flight to Newark.
Yeah.
Except for these little driving hypocrisies, there is just a different laid-back vibe that's very, it seduces you almost.
A little bit. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We are on a Wednesday here. We're a couple days away from the Vikings and the Texans. We'll get to the Vikings and the Texans. There was a video that popped up yesterday on the internet of the aftermath of the Bears-Texans game on Sunday, the two quarterbacks meeting at midfield. We're going to do a little Zapruder on this. There is one particular thing that the internet, probably the Texans-loving part of the internet, is none too happy with when it comes to Caleb Williams. We'll let you take a listen, see if you can discern. We'll lay it out. We'll do that coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
This got a lot of run yesterday on the interwebs. Popped up several times on my feed. It was a video following the Texans' 19-13 win over the Bears on Sunday night of C.J. Stroud and Caleb Williams. I don't know if C.J. might have been mic'd up for this game. It's a pretty clear audio feed that you're about to hear of their interactions with each other. Take a listen to it. And then see if you can guess by listening to it what might have been something the internet is reacting to. Not the easiest thing to discern, but I want you guys to try to guess in your cars while you're listening first, and then we'll reveal what the answer is and we'll replay the audio.
Good job out there, bro.
Yeah.
Hey,
keep going.
Stop taking those hits. Learn from those mistakes, and everything that you got, bro, is in you already, bro. You're going to be a hell of a player in this league.
Yep.
All right, boy.
Appreciate it.
For sure.
All right, so they dapped up. It didn't leave, you know, nothing contentious or anything like that. Seth, we've already hashed this out on the air, so you know the answer to the question, but do you think by listening to that audio, people might be able to pick up what people, particularly kind of Texans folks, are a little irked at Caleb Williams about today?
Yes, it was the way he kind of was like pulling himself away from CJ, and CJ had to
say,
pull
come
him
here.
Back to,
you can hear him say,
yeah,
come
and
here.
He did. And Caleb did look a little bit like, I really don't feel like it. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Let me listen to you. This is where all the narrative leading up to it really, really matters, because people have wondered about Caleb Williams' vibe and the way he operates and everything else like that. People are reading that as like, okay, this kid just doesn't even want to take advice from a guy who's been doing it far better than him.
Yeah.
I have a hard time with it because, I mean, if I put myself in that same situation, or think about guys like Tom Brady, who was notorious for just leaving the field completely, but obviously after he had already established himself as a player, but without shaking hands with anybody, I could totally see, like, I don't think I would act like Caleb Williams did there, but that's how I might be feeling inside. But because I'm hyper aware of the fact that the cameras are there and everything, I wouldn't do that. But I can't criticize Caleb Williams for being upset and not wanting to talk to somebody immediately after a game in which you were sacked 7 times and you threw really 3 interceptions, only 2 of which counted. But it was a bad game, and he just wanted to get the hell out of Dodge.
Yeah, the lens that it was getting portrayed through on my timeline was through largely a Texans lens, because that's, you know, that Twitter can tell pretty easily that I'm come from a Texan side of thing, both geographically and by what I tend to click on. So I was getting the view from people who were like, oh, look at Caleb, you know, snot-nosed kid walking away. He's like a month younger than CJ. Walking away. I do put myself in the shoes of a Bears fan, and I'm kind of like, you know what? If he's walking away because he's pissed that he just lost a football game, I think I'd rather him that than sit there and just chit-chat with CJ Stroud in the middle of the field. If I were a Bears fan.
One of our listeners has pointed this out a couple of times that, and I didn't realize this during the game, and who knows, you know, because you only see certain shots of players on the sideline during the game, but at least on the TV copy, you didn't see Caleb Williams really pouring over the iPad at any point, whereas usually you see sideline shots of CJ when it's not him kind of celebrating. He's either talking to one of the receivers, doing a lot of hand motioning or whatever, or he's got his head down in the iPad and he looks up because the defense just made a play or something. And for whatever reason, maybe it was just happenstance, but you didn't really see that with Caleb Williams. This is where I think if you're a Bears fan, it really starts to rub you the wrong way. It's not the painted fingernails or anything like that. It's that you watch Hard Knocks, and Caleb Williams has almost a cultivated appearance of nonchalance about things that I never get nervous. Nah, I haven't been nervous since my first start in college. Like this kind of stuff where you wonder, like, hey, dude, you know what? We're past the days when it's cool not to care, okay? That's a Gen X thing. Mm-hmm. The apathy, that's not what plays these days. What plays is being hyper-obsessed and focused on improving yourself, and which CJ does. CJ is a football nerd, and you don't get the sense that Caleb is a football nerd the way that CJ is. Those two personality types, and those guys are good friends, but I think if I were a Bears fan, that would really bother me.
There had been evidence of Caleb Williams. I know he won a Heisman and everything, but that was 2 years ago. There was plenty of evidence of Caleb Williams when he was playing against teams that put pressure on him that he got nervous. Yeah. And I say that because Notre Dame was one of them. That's my school. I watched that game. Caleb Williams threw 3 interceptions in that game and was running for his life. They got blown out by Notre Dame. It was funny, Seth. We were asking, Clint and I had Danielle Hunter on the postgame show on Sunday after the game. Frightening individual. He is a very, very large man, but a sweetheart of a man. He was great. He was really good. But we asked him about, you know, there's very little film of Caleb in the NFL out there. There's even very little preseason film because they treated him like he's a 10-year vet in the preseason. I don't know what these teams are doing. Carolina did the same thing with Bryce Young. How'd that work out? But he said that they watched some of Caleb Williams' college film to get ready for this, just to look. And I wonder if the Notre Dame game had to be one of the ones they watched because he was turning the ball over left and right in that game.
Yeah, and I think especially with guys that are, they have the ability to scramble, you know, you want to kind of see what their tendencies are.
Yes.
You know, in college, they always wanted to try to force him to scramble to his left. He's not as good at throwing against the grain and across his body as CJ is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that The fact that, as one of our listeners pointed out, we've got some actually really good observations from listeners here on Caleb Williams. Caleb's always been one of the best athletes and players on the field. I think he's having a little mental adjustment, finding out what the NFL is all about. There is 100% something to that where I think sometimes you think, oh, well, yeah, his O-line at USC wasn't that good, and he had to deal with that last year. That's still a bad offensive line in college. Is still not the same as facing an NFL pass rush behind even a good offensive line.
Right.
You see the throws that CJ is able to make now, where I look at CJ as a veteran quarterback now in his second year in the league. It's what is a good pocket in the NFL is a horrible pocket in college football. It just, it's so much tighter. There's always clutter. There's one guy coming free. It's very rare that you get 5 seconds to stand back there and throw the ball. And I think Caleb Williams has had a little bit of a shock to his system about what it looks like, especially when people start bringing the hounds. And I think early in that game, he did a good job of showing that, all right, you know what? He can take the easy stuff. Mm-hmm. He can make precision throws. If the defense is going to play a little bit soft and concede the underneath stuff, he could have hurt the Texans if the Texans hadn't cranked up the heat on the blitzes in that game. But that's that next step is, all right, you got to understand exactly how close these, how tight these windows are and how quickly everything closes up. And it's cool that you can run around for a while, but you're still taking sacks because you can't outrun these guys the way you could college kids.
The two teams the Texans have played so far this season, the Colts and the Bears, they play each other on Sunday. So that's kind of an interesting wrinkle to the schedule. The two teams the Texans have played, the two quarterbacks they've played, play each other on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
You're amped up about something. What is it?
I just think Caleb's, I think Caleb's going to have a better game versus that Colts defense.
Yeah.
But I think that Bears defense is going to destroy Anthony Richardson.
It's super intriguing, right? Yeah.
Sean, that Bears defense is going to destroy Anthony Richardson. I know Anthony Richardson hasn't broken the 50% completion mark yet this year. And I think it's going to be a rough. It's going to be bad,
okay,
man.
Okay.
It's going to be really bad for Anthony Richardson.
Games in Indy, does that equalize things at all for you?
No, those fat, pasty bastards can't affect the football game. Nah, listen, this is one of the greatest lies ever told to the American sporting public, that the Indy crowd had a damn thing to do with Peyton Manning being as good as he was. He bolstered their confidence for over a decade, convincing them that they were just, ooh, they're so smart. They know how to be quiet, and they know how to cheer, all of that. That was all Peyton Manning. My God, they didn't do a damn thing for Andrew Luck. Only thing they ever did for Andrew Luck was confirm his suspicions that he should retire and stop playing in that cesspool of a state.
Yep. Yeah, no, that's a fair point. Do you want to, now that you're indoctrinated into the dark arts of the wager, would you like to guess the line on this game between the Colts and the Bears? It's Bears at Colts. So it's a noon
Bears
kick.
At Colts.
Noon kick in Indy. Yes.
I'm guessing the Bears are favored by 2.5, and the over-under is, I want to say 39. I think the over-under is probably 42.
Okay, what did we say he gets a ding for, Ben, within 1.5, right? Right. So you say Bears minus 2.5. Yeah. Colts are a 1-point favorite in this game.
Oh, I'm okay. I'm making my wager on BetUS very quickly.
Yep. Yep. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So that's. I agree with you. I think Anthony Richardson's really going to struggle against that defense. I'm a little surprised the Colts are favored in this game. I think the Bears are the better football team. So
I wonder what they're basing that on, the Colts rushing attack.
Yeah. Well, Caleb has not looked good either.
That's right.
Quarterbacks are always the quarterback. And Richardson at least has some highlight plays that drive some public opinion on stuff like this.
I wonder if this is public opinion influence, but also the Bears haven't run the ball well, and yet, man, the Colts' run defense looks atrocious.
Dude.
I feel even though, look, the Texans couldn't run versus the Bears, but they ran all over. They ran all over that Colts defense, and then the Colts defense was even worse against the run last week. So,
DeAndre Swift. Get on all the DeAndre Swift props, right? Over this many yards, over this many, touches, whatever the case may be with DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, and I don't think the Colts have the ability to play man and blitz the hell out of the Bears the way that the Texans were able to do. So, I like the Bears in that game. Mostly, I like Anthony Richardson throwing 40% of his passes. I hope, Sean, he has an incredible throw in that game, too.
Yes.
I hope so people can see exactly what we've seen out of Anthony Richardson is that, he'll throw something you've never seen before, but that's it. He's not gonna. He is a bolt action rifle, Sean. He'll make an incredible shot, but as he's reloading, he's a bolt action rifle with no magazine. He's got to reload, and it's a mess. It's a mess.
Yep. Text message. I called it before the draft. Caleb Williams will be a bust. Cocky and uncoachable. That's two games in. I wouldn't take the victory lap quite yet that he's a bust. It's, you know, it's not been a great first two games, but he's very, very talented.
Somebody's pointing out that the home team gets points. Yeah, I get that. That's a, I saw. So please, sir, do not insult me.
Yeah.
Please do not insult me on the way the line is adjusted, right, on the very simplest levels. Tell me about the intricacies of gambling. Now I'm insulted.
We also see the many texts from you folks who pointed out that perhaps Caleb Williams was quick to run away from C.J. Stroud because he had an appointment to cry on his mother's bosom. We got those early in the show, and we got them in this segment as well. Yes, he did.
Caleb has a really cocky attitude. He was dismissive towards CJ. Let's be real. He's a millionaire. Get your feelings out of that loss, man. That's why I said, I prefaced it by saying there's a whole narrative behind this, and that it could be that Caleb Williams is all that. I'm just saying, in that moment, that's not the moment I would choose to say, oh yeah, you see, this guy's a bum. I could see some of the best people on earth reacting in that same way. So I don't think that he added to the bag of things that show what Caleb Williams is or isn't. But I like that one specific moment, I have a hard time judging him too harshly.
I agree with that. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. So Bryce Young benched, Tua to IR. Could there be a love connection? We will have that for you coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you, Payne and Pendergast. Tua Tagovailoa goes to the IR yesterday. So a lot of these quarterbacks that are on the Texans schedule getting banged up here early, I have no idea if Tua is going to still be playing football in Week 15. I had no idea if Jordan Love is going to be back from his knee injury by week 7. Whoa. I would think he might be. But the suggestion now out there, Dan Orlovsky was the first one I saw say this. We'll hear from Dan here in just a second. This was yesterday on ESPN. Dan is adamant that Bryce Young is done in Carolina, and I listened to some Carolina radio, and that's how the people there feel as well, for the most part. Steve Smith Sr., ironically, is somebody who's not giving up on Bryce Young, or maybe not surprisingly. We'll get to that in a minute. Here was Dan Orlovsky yesterday. This is on Monday Night Football, actually, suggesting a landing spot for Bryce Young.
He's done in Carolina.
Yeah.
Done in the NFL is probably rich for me. I do think his confidence and his belief in himself is completely gone. Someone will have to come trade for Bryce Young. I know Ben Solak has mentioned the Miami Dolphins being a location. That makes a lot of sense. No one else in my mind makes sense right now for him. He's going to have to rebuild himself from confidence.
All right, so Miami. Now, where Miami makes sense for Bryce is that we know that a big part of Mike McDaniel rehabilitating Tua, to the extent that Tua, or at least the Dolphins feel like Tua was worth $53 million a year, was just the fact that he was equal parts shrink and equal parts offensive coordinator, you know?
Yeah, to the point where Tua actually would say at times, sometimes Mike McDaniel's over-the-top positivity gets a little bit annoying.
Yeah.
There's almost nothing you can do where Mike McDaniel isn't just going to be encouraging you to, like, hey, buddy, that's all right. Let's just move on to the next play.
Right.
That might be the perfect spot for him where... Now, I guess the tricky thing about Miami is there might be too much pressure for Bryce Young to play at some point. You almost want him to be in a spot kind of, I mean, with Sam Darnold in San Francisco, where at least so far it looks like maybe Sam Darnold was rehabilitated in San Francisco and then going off to play in a similar scheme.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly what that would be like. If you almost want Bryce Young to have a full year where there's almost no threat of him playing, perhaps.
Well, the dumbest part of any of these takes on Bryce Young is the part you heard Orlovsky alluding to there. Clearly, whoever asked that question or made this suggestion about Bryce Young was suggesting the possibility that Bryce is done in the NFL, which is just, he's a former number one overall pick. Read the room. Like, if you're a high draft pick, high draft pick, you're going to get multiple. He will be... If he doesn't click in his next spot, he'll get another opportunity after that. And after Josh Rosen was on like six teams in the NFL.
Sean, no, the hottest take that I can combat with almost, I would say, 95% accuracy is, unless it involves an aging athlete, the take that somebody has done in the NFL for any reason whatsoever is almost always the wrong take. Brian Flores is a coach. Brian Flores will never coach in the NFL again. He sued the owners. Yeah, that's great. The Texans play Brian Flores, who has one of the best defenses in the league so far this season, this week. It's just, that's almost always the worst take.
Yeah, it's bad. And especially since A, this is his first stop, and B, it's a team that everybody else around the league, the other 31 teams and the fans in the very city Bryce Young is being excommunicated from, all know that is the new Washington Commanders, that is the new dysfunctional place you do not want to go play football in, Carolina.
Especially, I wonder if there are any stories. I haven't seen any stories about Tepper having negative interactions with Bryce. Have you?
No.
Yeah, so if the owner, Dave Tepper, who's I got to stop saying he's becoming Dan Snyder. I think he's almost a carbon copy of Dan Snyder and what he was in Washington.
Yeah.
And Carolina's close enough geographically to Washington, D.C., that I'm guessing the people can call up their loved ones and ask about, hey, what was it like living under this maniacal totalitarian rule for 20 years?
I'd hang up. I don't want to talk about it. I'd go Caleb Williams on them and just start walking the other way. Steve Smith, we mentioned. In listening in on Carolina radio yesterday, Steve Smith Sr., the former wide receiver, who is on the NFL Network, does a lot of stuff in Charlotte on the radio, including doing hits on WFNZ, which is our sister station there. He seems to be the one guy who's still believing that, like, hey, this is just temporary with Bryce. Like, Bryce can work. I would probably have that take, too, if I were gushing this much about Bryce Young before the draft. This is Steve Smith sitting next to Bryce Young after Bryce's workout at Alabama. And keep in mind, Carolina has the first overall pick at this time. Steve, it got creepy, man. Remember this back in March of 2023?
Everything that I've seen out of there, for me, I've seen bigger, more athletic quarterbacks not be able to anticipate the throw. That's not a knock on anybody, so before people start tweeting, you know who I'm talking about. I'm just talking overall in this evaluation process of a guy who's smaller in the measurables but has the heart and the desire to play. Man, I just sat there and watched you, and I'll be 44 years old. I could have got out there and ran those routes. Just the way you were guiding the ball, it was remarkable. I mean, I'm just like, I can lace him up. I can't do nothing, but it just sure looked good watching it, man. What a wonderful, wonderful display of why you deserve to be the first overall quarterback to be picked in this year's draft.
I really appreciate it. That means the world, especially coming from you.
Yeah, that's
that is why you'll be benched 19 games into your career.
Especially coming from you. I try not to roast people too hard for the decisions they make on quarterbacks, the scouting professionals and GMs and everything, because it's really, really hard to do. And it always looks easy in hindsight. You know, it always looks like, oh, obviously you should have known this guy was going to be great, or vice versa. But I do think that one thing that happened last year that I think was really just added fuel to the groupthink fire, when it comes to the way people are evaluating quarterbacks and everything, that S2 cognition test, I think that, because this is the trouble with evaluating quarterbacks, it's that every bad quarterback does some things really well and is capable of making really good throws. Because you think about the difference between a bad quarterback in the NFL and a good one. It's a 55% completion percentage these days is horrible. A 65% completion percentage is like, okay, yeah, that's what you should be doing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a couple throws a game that a guy is making or not making.
Yep.
It's the same as the difference between a 200 hitter and a 300 hitter in baseball. It's actually, so you can find the good things very, very easily. People love to pick out, look at that throw Tim Tebow made. Obviously, he's better than all these haters are saying. But I think when you are scouting and watching a player, and then on top of it, you've got this S2 cognition test that half the teams in the league are using and seem to abide by, and the results are so glaring, I think it turned people into like, oh, okay, well, he was really good at it, and he doesn't have the physical tools, but he does throw with anticipation, and he has touch on everything that, okay, I guess this is the real deal. I guess all these things. And you're also, because I succumb to this too, when the experts are telling me something, I'm kind of like, well, I guess I must be the idiot if I don't see it. So you just, it's very... It's seductive. Start kind of being like, all right, well, yeah, I guess this is the way it is. And I think that happened with Bryce Young to an extreme degree last year. And the huge rubber stamp on it was the difference between C.J. Stroud's S2 score and Bryce Young's S2
100%.
Score.
Yep, agreed. So we had Steve Smith gushing over Bryce Young, saying this is why you're going to be the number one pick in the draft. Was that worse? Was that worse from Steve Smith? Was that worse than this?
And now we get to see the start of this new era. Bryce Young in the huddle. Bounce of youth. Shiny helmet gives him a seraphim's glow. Eyes as wide as the Sphinx. And if he is what this franchise and this fan base believes he can be, the hour of the Panther begins with this shotgun snap.
Okay, so the overly flowery, metaphor-laden Anish Shroff introduction of Bryce Young. Syrupy, syrupy.
It was syrupy.
Syrupy. Or this from Steve Smith right
here. I can lace him up. I can't do nothing, but it just sure looked good watching it, man. What a wonderful, wonderful display of why you deserve to be the first overall quarterback to be picked in this year's draft.
Okay.
All right. I think it sounds worse from Steve Smith because there's almost like a shifting of status there or something almost where you feel like Steve Smith has seen it all, done it all, very confident himself. If you haven't picked up on that, Sean, I feel like for Steve Smith to show that side of himself, it felt like it was so far out of character. It sounds a lot worse coming from Steve Smith. The thing about Anish that I would say is that I think Anish, he did frame it in terms of if.
Yeah.
You know?
Could be.
And it was likewise. You know, this is a number one overall pick that the fan base is really excited about, and that was the unveiling of it. So, like many things that could eventually go awry, you know?
You're actually starting to like that bit of audio from Anish.
I don't know. I don't like the... It was just too syrupy. I feel like it was just too... He plugged too many... He asked ChatGPT for too many metaphors and then put them all on there. Instead of picking the best one, he put them all on there.
Okay, there were three in there. Which did you like the least? Bounce of youth, Seraphim's glow, or eyes as wide as the Sphinx?
Because honestly, eyes as wide as the Sphinx, I start thinking about somebody else. It's almost like somebody that looks a little bit off.
Yeah.
it's a guy's eyes are just way too wide.
Eyes as jacked up as the Sphinx.
Eyes as wide as the Sphinx.
Yeah. You know what it is? Because when I look at the Sphinx, I don't think of like, oh, look at his eyes.
Right.
Wide open. I almost think of him like, okay, like wide apart.
Right.
And like, are like overly wide apart? Like not in an attractive way.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's a comely lass with nice wide eyes.
He called him goofy. Yeah. That's what he called him.
Yeah.
All right. We're heading to 9 o'clock hour. Is the Texans and Vikings game this weekend? Is this the game of the weekend? Has this evolved into the best game on the board this week? It may be just based on what the experts think of these two teams so far. And there is one aspect of this game that no two teams have been better at than the Vikings and the Texans. We'll tell you what that is coming up next.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Noor Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Noor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Noor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.